And good morning to you all once again, and grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday we had the service for my mother-in-law, Joanne Larson. Again, the family wishes to thank all of you who attended, and we just want to give thanks to God for all your prayers and support through these last few difficult weeks. These last couple of months especially were hard for Luther and the family as they watched Joanne's health failing, and they awaited the time when the Lord would take her home to be with him, and we rejoice in the fact that she is now in the Lord's loving presence. Something else happened in the last couple of weeks as well in our nation. We had an election, didn't we? Every 4 years, we choose to either stay with the current president and leadership or elect new leadership for our nation. And in the run-up to the elections, we see people trying to position themselves for a possible run for office or even for the president. And even now, as the elections are over, we already see people looking forward to 4 years from now and trying to figure out who's going to run and who's going to be the best possible person to lead our nation into its future. So for the next 4 years, sadly, we'll be discussing and debating why this person or that person might be better than somebody else. We'll spend a great bit of time worrying about who will lead our country even 4 years from now. Why do we give so much of our attention to this? Well, we pay attention because if we don't, we're going to end up paying more taxes. No, but seriously. We pay attention because our nation needs good leadership, and we want to see our nation succeed. This morning, I'm going to preach again from the passage from the Psalms from the pericope text. I chose this text especially because of what it has to say about God and how it sheds light on how we look at our nation and who we put our trust in for the future. The text for this morning is Psalm 93. And looking back over my 11 years of preaching here, I realized that I'd never preached a message from this psalm. I mean, there's quite a few chapters I haven't preached from in 11 years, but after reading it and studying it, I enjoyed the time of preparation, and I just asked the Lord how best to share this message with you today. So please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 93, and I invite you to please stand with me as you're able for the reading from God's Word. If you're following me along in the Pew Bibles, it's found on page 425. This is a very short psalm, only 5 verses long. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Lord, these are your words, inspired by your Holy Spirit to be written many years ago, but also for us today. Holy Spirit, guide us through the study of your word this morning. Draw us closer to you through it, Lord, and present to us, Lord, what you would have us for us to receive from your word. And Lord, accept the praise and the worship we give you today because of your holy word. As we look at this passage, Lord, as I pray each week, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together would be pleasing and acceptable to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In this psalm, we find a picture of God that was written somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 years ago. And it talks about God's reign as king, a reign that was established long ago from all eternity. God's rule is forever. It had no beginning and it will have no end. See, we can look back at history and learn about our past leaders, and we can discuss the merits of our current leadership. We can talk about what we might want in our future leaders. But only God is the King eternal. And in this psalm, we will see the writer portray God as the King of the past, as the King of the present, and as the King of the future. First of all, we will see that God is the King of the past. As I've shared before, I've never been a big history buff. In fact, I've shared that it was one of my least favorite subjects in school. But I've come to realize that the study of history is actually really important for us, because history tells us where we have been, and in some ways it points us to where we might be going. And it's interesting to read about our different presidents, how some of them got to be in that position to begin with. It seems as though some men pursued it, right? Just relentlessly pursued it. They really wanted to be president. Others just simply had it thrust upon them. Some presidents are really nearly forgotten. We don't even remember what they did when they were in office. Some stand as gigantic, larger-than-life figures. They're all unique. Each had a different personality. Some were president at times of peace, others at times of war. Some piloted our nation through very turbulent waters. Others sailed on seas of what we would call domestic tranquility. Looking back at the past, what about God's past? What about God's past? Verse 2 tells us, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. God has been the King since before the foundation of the earth. Sometimes it seems as though God moves in and out of human history. Sometimes he seems closer to us than at other times. And a more casual reading of the Bible may leave the reader with the impression that God was closer to humanity at certain times than at others. And while it may appear that God moves in and out of his dealings with his people, we know that he is always with us, that he promises to never leave us or forsake us. So sometimes it may feel that God is really close to us, while there are other times when it seems like or feels like he's far away. But what the psalmist is saying here is that God has been God since forever. God's rule is stable because he has always been the King. The psalmist here, we see in him some awe here, don't we? When we reflect on the fact that God has been King since before the beginning of time, we can't help but feel a sense of awe as well. It seems like such a long time ago. I remember being a kid and asking my mom and dad what it was like when they were growing up for me. That was, well, in the olden days, right? And it always left me with a sense of awe that my parents had been around so long. Stories of them walking to school through 2 feet of snow, uphill both ways, and barefoot, right, were just mesmerizing to me and my brother and my sister. But there was a sense of awe that I had. I couldn't imagine what things were like for them back then. My boys have joked with me through the years about what it must have been like for me and my family, or as Mark says, my clan, when we went out on the hunt for brontosaurus meats. You can just feel the love and respect and sense of awe that was there from them. Well, that's kind of what the psalmist is going through here. He has this sense of awe. He reflects on the enormous scope of history, realizing that God has been around for all of it. Right? He was there when Noah built the ark. He was there during the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those great patriarchs of the Jewish people. He confronted Moses in the burning bush. He crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River with his people. He was with Gideon and his ragtag army. He was there in the beginning when he spoke our world into being. When we look back at our lives, we can see where God was at work, right? It may be times of despair that we see God at work the most. It may be at some turning point in our life that God's activity is most evident. It may have been a time of great joy. But I think we can all see times where God has been working in our lives. Excuse me. The floods, the waters of verse 3, to me seem to represent the enemies of God and his people. The psalmist is saying that through the years, the enemies of God have tried to defeat God and his people. They've risen up many, many times. And the truth is that God's enemies have more bark than bite. When I was little, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I got bit by the neighbor's dog. So I'll admit, I was afraid of dogs for a while. I grew out of that and actually love dogs now, but I was afraid back then. And when I was scared of a dog, my dad would always say, "Don't worry, Bill, his bark is worse than his bite." And while I appreciated my dad's attempt to comfort me, I didn't want to hang around to find out which was worse. I reasoned that even a little bite wouldn't be very pleasant. The truth is that God's enemies bark and roar awful loud, but God is more powerful than they are. And with God, we can't go wrong. So God is king of the past. He's also king of the present. For all the wonderful, amazing things that the Lord has done in the past, God is still on his throne today. Verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns." That's present tense language. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. God was king in the past, and he is presently still the only true king today. He's not just a great God of the past. We can sit and reflect on all the great things that God has done, and there's nothing wrong with that if we realize that God is still God and he still reigns today. He is still on his throne, and he is still doing great things even now. One thing that many people like to do is sit around and talk about the great good old days, right? How great those days were. I've heard stories about how great things were in the past. The truth is that the same God who was great in the past is the same God who is still great today. How many of you have been to a Billy Graham crusade? Many of you. I was blessed to be able to go to one in Denver back in the, I think it was the 1970s or late 70s or early 1980s. But we've all seen stories and seen footage of thousands of people, right, responding to the gospel message, to the good news at those crusades. And we think, wow, why isn't that happening now? Why isn't that happening today? The truth is, it is happening today. It may not be happening in the same way, but people around the world are responding to the good news of the gospel, right? People are responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit and are turning back to God. So God is still at work today in the lives of his people. There are a lot of people who try to live their lives on past glory. We've probably all known people like that. It's kind of like the middle-aged guy who tries to hang on to the glory of his high school football career, right? 20 years ago, he scored the winning touchdown against the arch rivals, and that is still his crowning achievement in life. Everyone hears the story of how he scored the game winner. He faked left, he went right, he broke 15 tackles and carried 37 guys on his back as he fell just over the goal line to win the big game. What? Oh, yeah. And nothing that has happened in the last 20 years of his life has as much meaning for him as that one event. And we can become like that in our relationship with God. We may remember the moment that we gave our life to Jesus in the past, and we remember how great that was, and it was, right? We felt the freedom of the forgiveness of sins. We felt brand new, that we were a new creation. That moment was incredible, and we didn't want to let that feeling go. The thing to remember is that that moment won't last forever. And it can't last forever because we have to move on. We have to continue to grow in our faith. We have to grow in our relationship with the Lord. It's been said that nothing in life is ever really static, right? Things change. Things change. Things are never really the same as they were yesterday. Our relationship with God is different today than it was yesterday because hopefully we've matured. Hopefully we've grown in our faith, and it won't be the same tomorrow. We're either getting closer to the Lord or we're moving further away from Him each and every day. So I ask you in all seriousness this morning, is God still the King of your life today as He was the moment when you first received your faith? Because it's great to remember all the great things that God has done in the past, but we can't leave Him in the history books. We need to be able to say, the Lord still reigns in my life today. Does God have any real impact in our day-to-day lives? We need to ask ourselves that question. Is God as real today as He was at some point in the past? Our relationship with the Lord needs to be current. It needs to be growing. Looking back over 30 years ago, I can honestly say that the wedding day for Sharon and me was a wonderful day. A little over 30 years ago, we stood at the front of a church. We held hands. We exchanged wedding vows. We exchanged rings. We lit the unity candle, and I kissed the bride. And our kiss could be described in the same way as that kiss at the end of The Princess Bride was described, right? The reader said, since the invention of the kiss, there have been 5 kisses that were rated the most passionate, the most pure. This one left them all behind. Now, I don't know if our kiss was seen in that light, but for us on that day, it certainly was. Over the last 3 decades, like any marriage, we've had our ups and downs. Right? There are times when we have felt really close, times when we maybe haven't felt as close. But our marriage is better today, it is stronger today than it was when we were first married, because we've both grown a lot over that time. How would our relationship be now if all we hung on to was our wedding day? Right? As great as that day was, it wouldn't hold its value if we didn't continue to cultivate our relationship over time. And whatever experience we had with God in the past needs to be seen in the light of the present as we cultivate that relationship. Just like a marriage is a growing and maturing relationship, it is also true about our relationship with God. It needs to be growing. It needs to be maturing as well. We can't be stuck in the past. It must be present. It must be up to date. So just as God was king in the past, He must be king of our lives in the present. And just as He is king in the present, we will see He is also king of the future. The psalmist doesn't linger in the past. He doesn't even stay in the present. He proclaims that God is the king of the future as well. Verse 5 says, "Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord." The psalmist is not anticipating a change of leadership anytime soon or ever. A lot was said in the early days of the Iraqi war about needing a regime change. One of the main objectives was to rid the nation of Saddam Hussein and his iron-fisted rule. Change is inevitable in human rule. As I mentioned earlier, we just finished the process of electing the next president of the United States. But rulers, kings, prime ministers, presidents, all of them, they all come and go. One is here now, someone else will be there in the future. In fact, the American Constitution forbids a president from serving for more than 8 years. So at a minimum or a maximum, whichever side you decide to look at it on, we'll have a new president every 8 years. But God doesn't come and go. He isn't going to leave office and be replaced by someone else with different policies. He is God forevermore. The prophet Isaiah, who was roughly contemporary with our passage for this morning, he had a present experience with the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we have Isaiah telling of his vision of the Lord seated on his throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And he saw seraphs flying around the throne. What were they crying out? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And that was a present reality for Isaiah in his life. Now compare that with John's vision of the future, of things yet to come in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation, John saw the Lord seated on his throne. And he saw living creatures surrounding the throne of God who never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now these visions, if you were to put them side by side, aren't exactly the same. But both Isaiah and John saw a vision of the throne of God with creatures surrounding it, proclaiming the holiness and the glory of God. For Isaiah, it was a present vision. For John, it was one of the future. In this, we see that God is the same today as he was before, and he will be the same in the future. God is God. He is stable. He is unchanging. We can count on God to be there. In our world of ups and downs, he is always the same. In our world of chaos and confusion, God remains the same. In our world of insecurity and constant change, God remains the same. To use the psalmist's own words, for endless days, God remains the same. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Lord himself says, "I, the Lord, do not change." The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 3, verse 8, 13, verse 8, I'm sorry, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John wrote in Revelation 1, 8 that the Lord himself said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come." Right there we have the Lord being the King of the past, the King of the present, and the King of the future. Now, a lot has been said in the last few years about looking at our nation, about national defense, presidential leadership. There's been a lot of debate on what should be done in the areas of national security and our positions in this world. Should we be preemptive in Ukraine or Israel like we were in Iraq? Should we wait? What about protecting our own citizens from all the crime and drugs that have come across our borders in the last few years? Protection is something that's on the mind of many people these days. But can we stop every threat? Can we respond to every attack? The answer to that, sadly, is no. No human being can lead to that degree. Joe Biden couldn't do it, and President Trump won't be able to do it either. They can't protect us from everything. Which is one of the reasons the scriptures tells us to not put our trust in men and princes who can't save us. In dealing with childhood issues when I was growing up, my dad gave both me and my brother some very sage advice. It wasn't earth-shattering, it wasn't even original. He simply said, "Boys, there's always going to be someone bigger than you." I wasn't that big of a kid growing up, and as trite as that saying is, it's true. There's always going to be someone bigger and tougher and stronger. And when I was a kid and my dad said that, I thought to myself, but there's got to be somebody who is the biggest, right? There's got to be somebody who's the biggest. And I thought, well, if I can get on that guy's good side, I'm going to be much better off. It just makes sense, right? But sometimes the biggest guy at school or in your neighborhood isn't always the nicest guy. But there is someone bigger than everyone who is also very good. And that someone is the Lord God Almighty. God is bigger than anything we will ever face. Verse 4 tells us, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waves, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." And he has always been the biggest, strongest, mightiest one in the past, in our present, and in the future. There will never be anyone greater because there is only one God. If any of you have ever had younger children or grandchildren that you have taken care of, you're probably familiar with VeggieTales. Who here is familiar with VeggieTales? Most of your hands are going up. If you're familiar with VeggieTales, you've probably heard some of their songs. The words of one of the first VeggieTales songs says this, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. Now, I didn't sing that in the voice of Junior, but that's okay. Okay? It's a simple little kid's song, but it has eternal truth in the words. Right? When we're confronted with our deepest fear, God is bigger than that fear. We don't need to be afraid of the boogeyman hiding in our closet. We don't need to fear anything because whatever we might be facing, God is bigger. We don't need to fear what might happen in our nation depending on who our future leaders may be because God is bigger than any issue that they might bring up. God is bigger than anything. Sometimes we think that we've messed up too bad for God to love us. We think we've done too many wrong things. We think we've sinned too much. We may think that God could never love us. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than your sin. God is bigger than your past. No matter what you've done, God can and will forgive you. One of the reasons that I chose this passage to share on for this week is that Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And you know what? We should be thankful that God is the King, that He's the King of the past, the present, and the future. We should be thankful that God's reign is eternal, that we are not subject to a God who always changes. God's expectations and love, they never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We aren't going to wake up tomorrow and have God tell us something different. He is established. His decrees are trustworthy. At this time of year, as we reflect on the things for which we are thankful, let us remember to be thankful for the stability that God offers us in the midst of our very chaotic world. Our kids grow up. We grow older. Our hair turns gray. Sometimes it falls out. Looking over here, I see a little of that going on. Our sight starts to go, right? Things change. It's been said that the only constant in life is change. We're constantly changing. Clothing styles change, some for the better, some for, well, not so good, right? Music changes, fads and fashions change. Everything changes. The only source of stability for us is in our relationship with Holy God. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful this year for the stability of God. My life has changed a lot over the last few years. Our boys have grown up. They've moved away. Mark's back right now, but he's going back to Botno in a week, right? Sharon and I are getting a little older each year, you know? But in the midst of all of these things, God is my anchor. God is my rock. God is my stability in times of change. Can you thank God as well for His stability in your life, that He is the same God, past, present, and future, and that that will never change? I believe this is something we should be truly, truly thankful for. Please pray with me. Lord, I thank You that I can look at You and You never change. Your love for me never changes. The forgiveness that You offer is always there. Your faithfulness that we sung about today is just so amazing. You are faithful to us, Lord, even when we are not faithful to You. You are the only true God. You created this world. You created us in Your image. But we fell into sin. So, Lord, You provided the way for us to be forgiven by sending Your Son, Jesus, the one true King, to come and reign in our lives, to die on the cross so we could have forgiveness. Lord, You conquered death as only You could do by raising Your Son from the dead so that we could have the promise of eternal life with You. That message, as well, never changes. It is there until the time when You say enough and You come back for Your church. So, Lord, thank You. Thank You that You are the King, past, present, and future, and that in my life I can rest in that. And I pray that everyone here can rest in that as well. You are a great and awesome God, and we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.